Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. I'm Jerry Foley, the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Bick Truss, the man on Twitter, Chris Bisignano. Chris, in all my years watching this team, two teams stand out with regard to futility for me. One was 83. That was the first year I started watching, but I was too young and stupid to care. I just love watching football on Sundays. And the other one was the 2017 team. And for a number of reasons, that team was actually kind of talented, but because of all the antics in the locker room and McAdoo and everything else, those two teams, I thought, were the worst two teams in all the years of me watching. But I'll tell you this, Chris. Yesterday, if the 2021 Giants played the 2017 Giants, Chris, that team wins by 30 over this team. That offense yesterday was the worst offense I've ever watched at any level in football. And I'm telling you right now, they would struggle against Bergen Catholic's defense. That's it. That's what I got. That's what I came away with. Our offense is a complete and utter embarrassment. I don't care who's playing quarterback. That's disgraceful what they did yesterday.
Yeah, but did you not know Freddie Kitchens and Joe Judge have a Mississippi State connection?
Oh, my God.
What don't you get, Jerry? I mean, why are you so down on this? Don't you know these guys all went to college together and they all coached together and the offensive staff and they have 45 assistants, 35 offensive line coaches, 12,000 senior assistants? I don't get what you're so down about. 2017 with Eli, I mean, they would have beat this team by, like you said, 20 points. Easy, you know?
Easily. Easy.
So we get into the game and you look at, I mean, you just looked at that game and said they have no chance of scoring. Zero. No, none.
We just said it before we came on. When the score was 10-3, that was an insurmountable lead for the Giants to come back from.
And then the one thing, you know, they had going a little bit in the first half was Devontae Booker and a little bit of a running game. They had 58 yards in the first half. But, of course, you know, they got away from that a little bit. And Devontae Booker said it after the game. He goes, you know, I was running well. I would have liked to have seen him stick with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Boom. Signals. Boom.
Yeah.
That's Devontae Booker saying, you know, what are we doing?
Right.
And speaking of Devontae Booker is a better running back than Saquon Barkley.
100%. Right now. I just wrote the same thing.
And if anybody says, oh, come on, Chris, Barkley's touched by the hand of God, you know, you're just looking at it because you like the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking about 2018 Saquon.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the flash, the commercials, and all that crap. But right now, and for the last month, actually, I guess you could say the whole season, if you think about it, right? Because Barkley's been hurt, whatever. But especially right now, in the last 3-4 games, Devontae Booker is a better running back than Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
So in my opinion, Mr. I think I invented every aspect of football, and I know every detail, Joe Judge, I'm like, why are we not giving the ball to Booker more? For the second straight podcast, I've said this to you, Jerry, where Booker is getting chunk yards and looks like the better back, but we're going to stick with, what, the rookie contract guy, Saquon Barkley? What, because, you know, in 2018, he was rookie of the year, and he makes a lot of commercials, and he's a nice kid? Sorry. Devontae Booker is a better running back than Saquon Barkley right now. So you know what? Give him the 15 touches, the 18 touches, not Saquon. Let Saquon get these 6-7 touches.
I agree 100%. Said the same thing in a column yesterday. I think Barkley is dancing and twirling his way off the roster. And at this point, Chris, as a fan, aside from the Giant Insider, as a fan who's invested in this team like every other Giants fan, I would trade Barkley at this point, Chris, for a third round. If a team gave us a third rounder, I'd be ecstatic to get it for Saquon Barkley for the way he's playing. I'm tired of it, man. I'm sick of it. I know the line stinks, but how come Booker can run forward and get positive yardage? What do you average, 4.5, 5 yards a carry yesterday? Again, they get away from it. And I'll have to question this, Chris. Is there a mandate from above to play Barkley? I don't know. I put nothing by this organization anymore. And I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. I don't know. Is there a mandate because he was a first-round pick and he's the sort of face of the franchise? Who the hell knows? But if Judge is playing him because he thinks he can get more out of Barkley, then he's not as detailed as he likes to tell everybody, because any idiot can watch the Giants on Sundays and say, yeah, 28's doing better than 26 right now, guys.
Right, and this is what I mean about in-game coaching.
Yep.
Okay? Yeah, you could go on the film review with Bob Popper and Carl Banks every week, and you could break down this play. Oh, this guy belongs here, and this guy belongs here, and this guy should be breaking here. That's great. Every coach knows that. Okay, that's great. Okay, you missed the details. Okay, you know everything about special teams and coming in. Who's the zero guys coming in? Your speed guys are inside. Okay, that's great. But in-game coaching is a whole – game planning is a whole different animal. And when you're losing every week by double digits, okay, double digits, your division rivals are smoking you. You had that one little blip in the radar, on the screen with the Eagle game. That was a very, very lucky win, let's face it, okay? Mm. You had that one little blip. Every other game besides that, you've been getting smoked the last month and a half. So you say to yourself, okay, so when you're standing on the sideline, you're seeing Devontae Booker, and I'm not blaming this on Barkley. I'm not saying Barkley's the reason why they lose. I'm just saying it's just one aspect of the team where, hey, look, give the ball to Booker more. He's playing better than Saquon. That's it.
Easy to see. Yep.
Easy to see. And like you said, Jerry, is he getting like a mandate up above, from Mr. Kate Codd, or is somebody like, get Saquon. He's back. He's healthy. We got to get him in there. I don't know. Would you put it past this organization like you just said, Jerry? No. Okay. But yesterday you felt like, and this is what I want. I got to be honest with you, Jerry. Jake Fromm showed, that he's Jake Fromm. And I know it's his first start. Not going to blast the kid. Didn't look good. He looked like he was too jacked up in the beginning. He's throwing balls all over the damn place. He's throwing balls with guys in his face. I put it on Twitter 100 times. The guy was behind Davis Webb in a depth chart in Buffalo. That's for a reason.
Right.
These guys practice every day. When Sean McDermott says, nah, put him behind Davis. Well, there's a reason, folks.
Yeah.
Now, was it worth giving the look? Of course. He gave the offense a shot in the arm a week before. He gave the look. Well, you got your look. And that was, and I think enough said there, okay? What I wanted to see is that it came out, they were running the ball pretty decent at times, right? At times. Mm-hmm. I thought it should be like a Belichick game plan. You know what? We're going to run it every damn down.
Yeah.
Until they stop, you know what I mean? You come out, Freddie Kitchens, who's proven that he's not the answer. If anybody thought he was going to be the answer, okay, please stop now. With his little feel good, we're going to do a little check down. We're going to dude, the Eagles knew they were going to do that. All right? The Eagles knew they were going to do that. You weren't fooling anybody with your little,
That pass to Barkley, that I think it was the first play or the second play of the game was just this. It was so obvious where he ran in motion and they threw it to him. Like, God, guys, if we see it and how obvious it is, don't you think they see it? It's right from the get-go, Chris.
Well, this is besides having backup quarterbacks in there and offensive line is, mediocre at best, they've also very poorly coached on the offensive side of the ball, not defensive side of the ball. We'll get into Graham and what those guys did soon. The offensive side of the ball is just so poorly coached right now. Okay, you're not giving anybody. I mean, Galladay's like checking out because he can't even get attempts. He can't even get targets. I'm not saying that's right for checking out, but the offensive side of the ball is just comical. All right, Jerry, yeah, this is sad. You could have put a high school team from South Philly here. got him on the field, and they would have moved the ball more on the Eagles. Once again, under 200 yards, and they only got that number up in garbage time. I mean, this is the NFL, Jerry, and this is what you're doing week after week. And this is, you know, and to look at for John Mara to say, leak out, and all that crap about, oh, well, you know, we love Joe, and he's going to come back. At best of all, you know, we want him back, and, you know, this and that. Why? What has this guy done right now to say, hey, we're definitely having Joe Judge back? Now, I'm not saying don't give him another year. We talk, but stop with the bullshit, dude. This team has regressed. This team is getting smoked every week. You tell me, what's the body of work here? What's the body of work? Stop with the excuse bullshit, too. Oh, we have to back up this guy, quarterback, we have to start a from, we got this, we haven't had all our receivers at once and all that bullshit. Okay? Look at the league, Jerry. Look around the league. And just in case people don't follow the league as closely I do. And look, I know a lot of Giant fans, they just follow the Giants, and that's fair, that's great. God bless you. But that's why I put it on Twitter. Hey, folks, if you don't follow the Texan game or you're not following this game, right, Jerry?
Chicago.
Well, I'm going to remind you what's going on around the league because the shit the Giants are putting on the field. While the other teams who are playing for nothing, even the Jets yesterday, dude, they had 500 guys on a COVID list. But they're out there, you know, battling. They're out there winning games. They're out there coming down. The Lions are coming down to the wire with some quarterback that I think was working for Carvel last week. You know what I mean? I mean, are you kidding me? And here are your Giants. They come into a rival, Eagles, where you should be like, oh, we're going to knock these guys off because we want to get them the hell out of the playoff pitch. And look, it was the first half because of the defense, Jerry. It was a 3-3 game. But as soon as that Rodney McLeod interception, the second half, got it rolling, and they executed and they converted that to a touchdown. It was over. If me and Jerry Foley weren't covering the Giants, we probably would have been like, hey, Jerry, what are you doing? Well, I'm in the backyard right now. You know, I got the fire pit. I would have had my fire pit going. I would have been done. And you think I'm kidding, folks? Look at Twitter. I know how many people tweeted at us, Jerry, yesterday, right? Like, I'm done. I'm shutting off. People are following us on Twitter just to get updates because they're done.
Right. I've never heard of that before where fans are watching Twitter to get their updates. But yeah. You're right. I wrote the same thing last night. The second that pass left his hands, he was hit in the face. Overthrown, McLeod catches it, game over. That was it right there. That was the second play of the third quarter, game was over. Sorry,
Coach. Right, the game is over. No, the game is over. Then special teams. I mean, Riley Dixon, I don't know what he's doing. You know, a low punt, short low punt. Jalen Rager returns it, sets up another field goal. You know, and then the turnover, you know, the couple of deep balls get him. You know, Love can't knock a ball down. He's got to knock that ball down at least. James kind of mistimes his jump.
Yeah, they did.
On a deep ball.
Yeah. Sets up some more. Was kind of there, and they missed it.
Yeah, and, you know, you're talking about it. And here's, you know, the defense. You know, you talk about a team that had 175-plus rushing yards, like seven games in a row, tying records and all. And the Giants did a pretty good job on their defense, man.
They did.
First half, they tried power runs. They tried some zones, the Eagles. Giants getting off blocks, doing a pretty decent job. I thought the Eagles maybe should—they did get a few chunk runs in the first half. I thought they should have stuck with it way more. They didn't. Sirianni's throwing the ball all over the lot in the first half. I couldn't quite get that.
He's the only one who doesn't realize to stick with the run. When you saw Hurts in the first half, I said, "Wow, this is the same quarterback who played at the Meadowlands." They have him again. I don't believe this. If we had any type of functional offense, we had a shot in that game. But you're right. And what I came away with that defense yesterday, Chris, if we add an edge rusher, all of a sudden, I know things never work this way, but if we go into the offseason and the next year with Blake coming back, an edge rusher, and kind of the same defense, you can't win with that.
Oh, right? Jerry, I'm not concerned about the defense.
Right? That's what I mean. Like, all we need is an edge rusher and another middle linebacker, which Blake Martinez coming off – you know, coming off IR next year, coming back. I don't know. I feel pretty good about the defense again.
Yeah. And the way some of these teams are winning.
Right.
The Giants might be the top 4-3, right? The way it's going, right? I mean, so, yeah. You look at the defense's body of work the last three, four, you know, last month, whatever it might be. I'm even going back further than that probably, right? You could go back further than that. You're not looking. And Pat Graham is just doing. I thought Pat Graham did so many good things yesterday. He had Hurts confused. They were showing different looks.
No, he was lost in the first half. Lost.
He had Bradberry traveling with Devonta Smith Elias today. You know, I know Devontae got him a little bit in the second half and all that. But, you know, I look at this and I say, well, these guys have been playing their asses off, man. But the offense, you know, is.
You have no chance.
Yeah.
And you have no chance.
And I get the Jason Garrett move, and you made him a sort of like the symbol of failure, and he got rid of him. Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. Make your boy Freddie Kitchens the symbol of failure now, too. I don't mean fire him now, but I'm saying, you know, hey, dude, you get in the presses and say, yeah, our offense stinks right now. We're horrible. Come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
got to look at it. Oh, it's not getting done. Because the offense under your guy, your Mississippi State buddy, you were putting his swing set together when he was a coach there, and you were the graduate assistant, and your buddy, and yeah, we all, you know, and all that crap. But guess what? He's not doing it either. He's matter of fact, his offense is worse than when Jason Garrett was here.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm
laughing because it's so accurate. It's so true. If it wasn't so true, I wouldn't be laughing. But what I'm afraid of is going forward is I'm afraid that if Judge is retained, his excuse to management is, well, let's give Freddie Kitchens another chance with a real offensive line and Daniel Jones, and that's why I think the vitriol towards Judge exists out there. That's one of the reasons, is because you can't keep using this injury thing as an excuse for a broken offensive scheme, a broken offensive game plan, which doesn't look all that much different from what Jason Garrett did, Chris. So that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that Judge has so much power in the organization for whatever reason he's convinced Mara that he's Parcells. Is that he's saying, well, let's give this coaching staff a chance with me having more say in who gets drafted and who we bring in here. So I don't know if it's going to change, and that's what scares the shit out of me, Chris.
Yeah, and look, Jerry, in all fairness to Judge, he's never once used injuries as an excuse. Yeah. But the fear is John Mara. And I notice for a fact that he's mentioned to some people that he has that mentality of, oh, man, I wish we just had everybody together. I wish we had this, you know, we didn't have this. I don't, you know, we didn't have this offensive line planned out, these injuries. Oh, if we only had the receivers. See, you know, Judge has never come out and said to us, he's always next man up. We got to be prepared. Everybody's got to be ready to go. John Mara is the one that's in the building saying, well, you know, they never really had their all receivers together. Oh, you know, we lost them, you. We lost Nick. You know, and this and that. We never really had they never really had a full chance, which is, you know, in a way, he's right, John, but it's the body of work. When you see the product on the field the last month and a half, and you can't sit there as an owner and say, yeah, I know, I wish we had this guy. That's the reason why, you know, come on, if we only had these guys. No, sir, this is the NFL, brother. And I know that. I know that for a fact. Mara tells people that. In the building, if we only had everybody together, if we had only this, you know, Joe never really had a full chance, you know. But that's no excuse for the product you're seeing on the field. And I'm not talking about Patrick Graham's side of the ball. I'm really not.
No.
I'm not talking special teams either. I'm talking offense. Okay? The offense is disgusting. It's not an NFL level.
It's so bad.
You look at some teams who are playing with third-string court. Josh Johnson, okay, was playing golf for me the other day over here in Jersey, gets a phone call from Harbaugh, listen, I need you. Can you come over here? And they moved the ball a little bit. Now, they got destroyed because of Burrow, and, the Ravens are just decimated with injuries, and Burrow exploited them yesterday, and he threw some 9,000 yards. And reminds me of that game Phil Simms had against him in Cincinnati when he had 500 yards. Anyway, those 500 yards. But Josh Johnson came in. I know he's a veteran, all that. It's also 300 yards. He has some garbage yards, but moved the ball a little bit. You know, somewhat was a functional offense. And here's a guy, and of course, this is I'm only joking around. But here's a guy who was probably playing golf somewhere a couple of days ago, wherever the hell he was. And him, you know, he was on the Jets thing. He played for the Jets one game. He was probably on a practice. I don't know where the hell he came from.
Yeah,
he comes in, and boom, because you know Greg Roman. And Harbaugh, they got him prepared in about a couple of days, and they were somewhat functional. You get what I'm saying, Jerry? The point I'm making, everybody, is that they're not even functional, this offense.
No.
They're not functional. It's an embarrassment. So you go out and the Eagles yesterday, and you know, and you get a 182 yards, about the last 70 was like garbage, or 50. You know, third down, you're 8 of 20, and it's the same thing, bro. It's just like the same thing over and over. And so, you know, stop with the, you know, the leaks out of the building. You got Adam Schefter texting it. You know, I've basically been telling you, Jerry, how much Mara loves Judge for the longest time. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But, dude, the point I'm making is, John, stop with the love shit, dude. Stop with the love shit. Just be quiet.
What is to love that much about him?
It, I mean,
the regression this year, the overall record, Chris. I mean, did you want to put your foot through the TV yesterday when the offense is walking up to the line, all of a sudden runs off, and then the punt team runs on? Like, what the hell are you doing? What is that? Oh. It doesn't do a damn thing. It just embarrasses us more that we're the only team that does that. Like it's high school and you're going to catch them off guard, Joe. They're waiting for it. You idiot. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to call names, but that's ridiculous. That's when I just said, oh, God, why the love, John? Why?
You know, that's the overthinking. Thinking I'm gonna, you know, thinking watch this, I'm gonna fool them. Now forget about that. Even forget about that, Jerry. Why not just go for it too, dude?
Right.
Have you noticed a trend too in this league the last 3-4 weeks? It seems like everybody and their brother goes for it a fourth down now.
Yeah, they don't care anymore. Yeah,
I'm not talking about even in negative territory. Everybody's going for it.
We're on our own 30. I got a lot of faith in our running back. It's fourth and four.
So here we are in the Eagle 43. I think it was. You're 4-11. Yeah. 4-10.
4-10, yeah.
At the time. 4-10 at the time, right?
Yep.
You want to, like, okay, let's we're going to do whatever we have to do here to try to knock these guys out. Let's get a little momentum. You go for, dude, it's on the plus 43. But here's Judge, once again, with his situational football and this, oh, our defense was playing well. Joe, you sound like an amateur, dude.
Right.
This is amateur over your head type coach speak. I mean, they come out and then they run the offense off. The Eagles are totally prepared for it. Joe, you've shown this 1,000 times in 2 years. Nobody's fooled by it. Why do you not just not go for it anyway? Oh, how do you not? I couldn't believe, Jerry, that they ran the offense off the field. I thought they were going to go for it.
Right.
The week before, he goes for it twice in negative territory, right?
Right, right.
But where's the logic here? Where is the consistency? What's your philosophy? What's your face? Like what's your identity? What are we doing here?
Not to mention, they're in plus territory, okay? So the Giant offense getting to the 50-yard line is like a monumental task. So you're beyond the 50. When are you going to get there again? Okay. And I want to bring up another one. They got there again. 3rd and 10 from, I think, the 34, maybe.
Yeah.
Third and 10. They run the ball to Barkley, -2. All right. So I'm guessing you're what? Oh, 54-yard field goal. Okay. I just, that one to me was, are we going to be aggressive at all? What are we playing for? You're playing for pride and to knock the Eagles out. What the hell was that call? I mean, it's just baffling now. It's baffling, embarrassing. I told you guys, I'm running out of adjectives. I have to go to the thesaurus button in Word all the time because I can't keep saying embarrassing, disgusting, disgraceful. Like I've overused it, but this is what we are on offense. Chris, before we go on real quick, guys, the opposite of embarrassing, disgusting, disgraceful, the Knuckleheads podcast brings on some of the best NBA players, past and present, to have totally unguarded conversations about sports culture and basketball nostalgia. The hosts are former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. They're in their 7th season doing the podcast, and the guests this year include Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Sue Bird, and DeMar DeRozan. Veterans Richardson and Miles are lifelong friends and bona fide truth tellers like us. Listen as they invite special guest, high-profile athletes, musicians, and entertainers to get brutally honest about everything from current events to untold stories from the golden era of sports and culture. It's named for the on-court celebration they made wildly popular. This unfiltered, hilarious, and surprising podcast is like playing NBA 2K with no fouls. That's the Knuckleheads podcast. So, yeah, Chris, you know, that one, those two stood out to me as he doesn't know, he has no in-game feel. And whether you like what Judge is doing, I don't know. I suppose he likes what they're doing behind the scenes. I don't know. He's changing the carpets in the stadium. I don't know what that means. He's doing a lot of things behind the scenes. He's Jackie Kennedy. He's changing the White House the way it looks. I guess that's what he's doing. So whether he's doing that, I don't know how the hell you teach in-game feel. I don't know how you teach a coach, you know, Don't go for it. Don't call timeout. When there's 6 seconds to go and it's lined up perfectly with the play clock, you don't have to call timeout here. You just let it go, Joe. How the hell do you teach that? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, Jerry. Right. It is what it is. You know? Like you said, last week they go for it twice in negative territory. Today, in positive 43-yard line, we decide to punt. Well, I mean, what's your identity? I just threw it by the game situation. So last week, the game situation was different. You're going for it on your 30-yard line? So now it's like, what? I just don't get what they're doing at all. And neither does anybody else.
No.
Listen, the offense, the coaching on the offensive side of the ball, it's just a total shit show. I mean, I don't have to say that. The production, just look at the numbers, bro.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And like I said 1,000 times on Twitter yesterday, I'll say it 1,000 times more. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want to hear about backup quarterbacks either. I don't want to hear about that bullshit, dude. I'm not saying you should be getting 30 points a game with Mike Glennon and all that, but it has to be more functional than what they've shown.
No, Nick Foles got 25 yesterday, right?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be more functional than what they've shown.
Right.
Okay? Yep. It has to be an NFL-type functional unit that looks like an NFL offense. And I'm not saying 400 yards a game with backup quarterbacks and 30 points or 28 points. And no, I'm talking about a functional offense, not an offense where you look at them and say, we have no chance, zero, of scoring here. Zero. Show me a Giant fan. Jerry, maybe I'm wrong. You tell me. Anybody wants to tweet at me that somebody sat there yesterday and said, yeah, no, I think we could do some things on these guys. I think we could score 21 points.
He or she does not exist, dude.
I don't think anybody out there in Twitter world exists that could honestly say there and say, yeah, no, I felt good about the offense. I thought we were going to score 20 yesterday. If you did feel that yesterday, I seriously, you got to get, you know, your head examined or, you know, get off your drug habit, because there is no way they were scoring yesterday. None. No, zero.
Like I said, dude, 10-3 felt like we're done. This game is over.
Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, they had insult to injury. They got Lane Johnson running a little release route in the end zone. He's wide open. You know, they're all dancing. The fans are doing the Eagles. I mean, it was embarrassing, dude.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
After the game, the Eagles are saying we didn't feel threatened by them at all. Hmm. Singleton's running one, you know, he's returning one to the house. You know,
he's really a really bad linebacker. He's not good. I mean, he looks like a guy they pulled out of the crowd in Philly to play linebacker, and he's returning an interception for a touchdown. Like, that's how bad a guy. To me, that was worse than the Lane Johnson play.
It was just embarrassing.
And we knew it was going to be. Our prediction was like, they're going to lose by 20 or 30, right?
Look, Hurts played better in the second half. He, you know, he settled down a bit, but he threw some balls up that was just like, all right, go up and get it, balls, you know? Mm-hmm. And they did. Mm-hmm. And they did.
Yep.
You know, now they were very fortunate. The Eagles in the first half, they recovered two fumbles, one right off the bat. Hey, Jerry, did you happen to see who got that big hit on the kickoff?
No, I didn't. I couldn't rewind it. No, because I changed. I went in the other room. And I just put it on, and then I said, ah, shoot, I didn't even see it. I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I got to look at it again. I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry. Who put their hat on the ball, that opening kickoff? They almost got the opening recovery.
Yeah.
And then another fumble, you know, they got after Lorenzo Cardo played a pretty good game.
I got a question about him, too, for you when we're done.
With a strip sack. And, you know, that was that. You know, it has to be demoralized with the guys in the defense, because they know when they give up a touchdown, it's basically over. You know,
isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Lorenzo Carter. Mm. Now, we joked that he has to play Dallas to really do anything. Well, yesterday he played well, too. Is there anything he can do over the last two games, Chris, to warrant, I'm not saying a five-year deal, but a one-year prove-it contract?
Well,
if he would take it.
Keep playing like he's playing right now, Jerry. Finish strong.
Yeah.
And then you see what the numbers lie. Now he's going to be looking for more than, you know, unless nobody has interest in him. But that guy is, you know, if he finishes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Strong, and he's played two really good games now. Right, he's put two games. He's stacked two games now, right?
Yeah.
If he finishes the last two, making some impact plays, he's going to get a contract somewhere. You know, somebody's going to give him a 2-3 year deal, bro. You know, it's going to happen because people are going to look at that and say, okay, you know, somebody needs some outside help. Will it be with the Giants? I don't know. We'll see the new general manager there. You know, whoever comes in, we'll see. But you know, we'll see what numbers. That's all for him to decide in the offseason. But I don't think if he finishes strong, Jerry, he's going to be looking more, you know, looking for more than a 1-year deal, either with the Giants or with whoever the hell else.
Yeah.
And he'll get it, Jerry. He'll get it because people are going to look at him and say, all right, this guy's healthy. He's athletic. He can help us. He'll probably be an all-pro to another when he goes to another team. What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm only kidding.
They're going to fall in love with his size and speed and give him some money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, let him finish strong and we'll see where it lies with him. But, it's unbelievable, Jerry. Just, you know, he hasn't been consistent, and he hasn't had a good year, and he hasn't really done anything except for the early Dallas game and then, you know, the last few weeks. But the way he's played the last 2 weeks is what I saw in training camp when I was saying, hey, look, this kid could potentially have a really good year. He looks phenomenal.
This was last year. Yeah, right.
But it's too little too late.
I know.
For this organization, like, dude, you're here 4 years, you know?
I know
you've had injuries and all that stuff, but you haven't made much of an impact when you've gotten in there. He's a nice rotational guy, Jerry, in my opinion. He's a good rotational guy where if you have, you know, two outside guys and he comes in and gets his 30-plus snaps a game.
Yeah.
He's that type of guy. I'm not quite sure he's a 60-plus, 50-plus outside linebacker type guy. But let him finish strong, and wherever the numbers lie, the numbers lie. You know, as far as hit concern, or when a new general manager gets here, I think now John Mara is not in love with Gettleman anymore. I think.
We hope.
I mean, I hope. You know, I'm only kidding, Dave. You know, Gettleman's gone, bro. You know, we all. Even though John doesn't really want to do it, I'm sure. But he's gone. You know, and there's nothing we can do.
That's so good, fellas. He's gone. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's like when De Niro called up. Where is he? What do you mean? He's gone? There's nothing we can do about it.
Right. So I think Gettleman, everybody knows that. And we all know what's going to come next. But you know what, Jerry? Speaking of the Eagles, beginning of the year, I had them as like a 5-win team, dude.
Yep.
Hurts, I wasn't sure about. Still a lot of questions about him, But, at Sirianni, looked like a high school, like this guy was a clown with his press conferences at the beginning of the year. But, you know what, dude? Here they are, 8-7. Now, they've had a lucky stretch of games.
Yeah.
Where they've played backup quarterbacks, and they played a high school offense twice in that stretch. The Giants. Okay? One they didn't escape from, one they did. They pulled out the Giants yesterday, right, in the second half.
Yeah.
Then they played the Jets, they played backup. So they've had a nice little stretch, where their defense wasn't really challenged, okay?
Right.
That's going to change. But, dude, here they are.
You can only play players in front of you.
Right. You're 8-7. You're the seventh seed. You're playing your last two games of the year, which is going to be in January now. You're playing for something. Can the Giants say that, Jerry, the last?
Nope.
7 out of 8 years, double-digit losses, dude. It's five insane. In a row.
It's insane. It's disgusting.
So when I put that tweet out yesterday, like, everybody in that building who thinks they're big football people, you know?
Yeah.
Look in the effing mirror.
Yeah.
Look in the effing mirror and say, what are we doing wrong here? That's the problem. There's nobody in the building saying, what are we, and you don't have an owner bringing it five people in his office going, what the F are you guys doing? Okay, Chris, you're getting crazy. Well, folks, 5 years in a row, double-digit losses. How's that sound, Jerry?
Sounds disgusting.
7 out of 8 years. No playoffs. I'm pleased with the 2016 bullshit, too.
And that's over.
They haven't made the playoffs once in the last 11 years, whatever the hell it is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Double-digit losses up the butt. The one, they were 7-9. They almost had a double-digit loss back in 2013, whatever the hell it was. You're better at this than me.
Right. What 20, year? 2013.
Right? Yeah. There was 7-9, and then the landslide started, right?
Yeah.
You could hear the Fleetwood Mac. You could hear the Stevie Nicks song in the background. The landslide started. Okay?
Yeah.
Love Stevie Nicks, by the way. One of my favorites.
Maybe we should come out to that. Maybe the defense should come out to that.
So
instead of Hell's Bells.
And folks, I'm a Giants fan. I'm 55 years old. I'm a Giants fan. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows Jerry's a Giants fan. I've been a Giants fan my whole life. But if you think I'm going to sit here and say, well, I'm a Giants fan, we'll get this turned around. We'll, you know what? You know, Judge didn't have this guy out there. Didn't have this guy. You know, Ben Brennison isn't that good. So, well, we got to give excuse. Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
This team has been losing double digit. They've had double digit losses.
5 years.
Seven out of 8 years. This is a putrid product on the field. Putrid. Okay?
That's a good one.
And Giant fans, who are the most loyal fan base, one of the most loyal fan bases out there, who spend thousands and thousands of dollars and miss family functions and all that stuff, they deserve better than this, brother. And John Mara, and I'll stay consistent. I don't freaking go. He's a good man, John. We know that. But he's also in a production business, and you're not getting it done, John. Okay?
Yeah.
You and your henchmen and that whatever the hell they call in that front office, they're not getting it done. The rest of the league is laughing at this organization, dude.
Yeah, we've never gotten so much sell the team tweets from people. And all I'll say to that is this. You know, look, I hate to bring it up. I'm also a Rangers fan. And no one hates their owner more than Knicks and Rangers fans and Dolan. And Mets fans, I say, are up there with the Wilpons. And they say, well, sell the team, sell the team, sell the team. It's never happening, right? Washington fans hate Dan Snyder. It's just not going to happen. So what you have to hope and pray for is that they bring in the right guy to run it all. And you hope and pray that John Mara makes the decision to step back and have everyone else step back in that building and say, this is the end all here. This is the guy, the boss of all bosses, to make every call in this organization. This is the new George Young. There's going to be opinions from people, but this person makes the call. And that's what you have to hope for. He's not selling the team. It just doesn't work that way, right?
No,
but the only But people have said, "Oh, sell the team." He's not going to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sure.
But the one thing you can do, Giant fans, is and I think you're starting to do it now, is you're not watching. And I'm not suggesting this. I'm just saying, what is your recourse for all this crap football? You know, I'm not saying sell your tickets to Washington fans, but I have two tickets that my daughter uses. I'm not letting her go to the last game of the season. My statement is a silent protest. No one's going to sit in my seats. And that's the only thing you can do to really get their attention, because the booing still says you care. It's the ambivalence, the not showing up that gets their attention. And that's what we have to hope for, guys. We have to hope that John Mara has the foresight to bring in someone, not only finding the right person, but letting that person operate as the boss of all bosses within that organization. Because if they don't, we're going to be here in 2-3 years saying the same crap over and over again. And by then, no one's going to listen to this podcast by then.
And look, these last four drafts, and I've been saying this, I've been telling you, Dave Gettleman calls the shots. He runs the show.
Right.
And these last four drafts, there's been some scouts, there's been some other guys in that building, like, you know, I like this guy, I like this guy, I like this guy, and Gettleman overruled, and he, you know, he goes with this guy. Okay? So this is why I emphasize about getting a president of football operations and then a general manager. Because when you have a competent president of football operations, right? Say they had a competent president of football operations. Now, the key here is hiring competent people, okay?
Right.
And he was there in 2018, and Dave Gettleman says, I got a guy here that's touched by the hand of God, and he's going to put a yellow jacket on in you know, the year 2030-something, okay? A competent guy looks at him and says, Dave, you think we're going to draft a running back and a second overall pick when we got guys like Quentin Nelson out there? Are you effing kidding me? No. No, I'm the president of football operations. I'm overruling you. Get that thought out of your mind. We're not going with a running back second overall. Or a president of football operations, and he looks at it, you know, and he goes, yeah, we're going to go with Daniel Jones, where a guy who's a competent leader says, no, I'm not seeing that. Well, I'm the general manager. Well, too bad. I'm the president of football operations.
Exactly.
I report to John.
Right.
And I'm telling you, maybe you don't understand me. I'm telling you, my man, we're not drafting this kid or that kid. Okay? We don't draft this position second overall. We don't draft this kid. You tell me what you see in this kid.
Right.
And I'm not indicting Daniel Jones. I'm just saying.
No, right.
He's a sixth overall kid. And after 3 years, can you say he's a sixth overall talent, Jerry?
No.
Enough said, folks. Okay? So this is what I mean about the, you know, what's going on. You got to hire that because, you know, maybe a guy, just argument's sake, Phil Simms was interested 4 years ago. He doesn't want this Phil. I'm just using his name, right? And he wanted that position in 2018 as a president of football operations. Right, Jerry?
Right.
And now Dave Gettleman with his bullshit act, you know, hey, kids and all that stuff walking around. And they're sitting in the draft and they're preparing for the draft for months and this and that. And they're saying, well, you know, if Barkley, you know, obviously Barkley's going to be there because who was it? Baker went in front of him, right?
Baker? Yeah, Baker went one, Barkley went two.
So the Browns are going to go quarterback and we're going to have Saquon. That's where Phil Simms, a guy like Phil Simms goes, whoa, wait a minute. We're going to draft a running back second overall? When we need this, you know? Dave, are you kidding me? Well, I'm a general manager. I was in Carolina. Yeah, that's nice, Dave. You won nothing in Carolina, too. Okay, so shut up.
Yeah.
I'm a two-time Super Bowl champion. I know what it takes to build a freaking winner. Okay? And we're not going to go running back second overall. I'm the president of football operations. I am hired to report to John. I'm telling you we're not doing that.
Chris, okay? I got a serious question for you because I just wrote an article on this. In real quick, I don't want to always rehash this, but in 2018, when Gettleman took that job, was it also Mara's opinion that Eli had more time left?
Absolutely. Okay. We know that.
Yeah. Okay. Because that goes hand in hand with taking Saquon at second. That goes hand in hand. Like Mara's opinion of Eli with 2 years left at $20 million, whatever it was, sure, goes hand in hand with it. So that's what I mean. Like, this is why you need a president. It's a really good point. That's why you need a president of football operations to say, yeah, John, I got it. We got this. We're gonna do this way.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it. We're gonna find out in a few weeks what the hell they're thinking.
Yeah.
So, there'll be changes, and that's the way it's gonna be as far as Judge goes. They want him back. We all know that. And I'm not saying definitely fire him. And I'm gonna stick to it. I think you are too, Jerry. I think I speak for you here too. Where look, whoever comes in and runs the show, if he wants Joe for another year, work with him. Okay.
Whatever. Don't want them to decide. Know? Right.
Right. It'll be him for the decide.
Right.
Nobody's sitting here saying Joe Judge has to go. What I am saying is that you better look at the body of work and what's going on the field too and say, whoa, you know, maybe I should stop telling everybody how much I love this guy because, you know, he knows that there's 5,065 blades of grass on the practice field. That don't mean shit to anybody.
Right.
It's about winning and this organization moving forward. And this organization has taken a big step back, if that was even possible with this organization this year.
And I don't care what anyone says. If the owner says, I want Judge and Jones back, say Judge, I want Judge back, you're going to eliminate half the candidates for GM because they're going to say, I want my own guy. You're going to make the same mistake the Jets made with Idzik and Rex Ryan. And 2 years later, they were both gone. And we're going to play this again. If the new GM, like we said, wants Judge, let him decide that. Don't you decide it. Let him decide it. And then you cast your net and all these GMs, come on in, guys. We're going to interview 20 of you. And then you tell me what we're doing with it. When whoever I hire, you tell me what your plan is. That's it. You don't make that decision for them, because then you're just going to come back to the same crap that the Jets did. We're going to revisit this in a year or two. That's it.
Yeah. And if you think we're kidding, I mean, Chris Canty, the former Giant, was on his radio show saying he spoke to somebody that's going to be a potential GM candidate this year. He spoke to somebody and said, well, if they come to me with that, I'm going to have no interest in the Giant job at all.
There you go.
I don't know who it was. Chris follows us. I'm not even going to ask him. It's none of my business. But that's what Chris said, you know? So that could be the feeling around. So,
by the way, I love ex-players who have a vested interest in the organization. I really do. I love Chris Canty's tweets because he's rooting for us.
because Jerry, here's the bottom line, and I know people are going to get mad at me saying this probably because the losses are piling up. The Giants are a first-class organization, dude.
Right.
They treat their players well. They treat their employees well.
Right.
Guys love being playing for this organization. The owner treats his players like human beings.
Right.
Folks, you can get mad at me all you want. These are the facts. I'm in the building. I know. Right. All right. I don't even have to be. Everybody knows this. You could listen to ex-players. You could, you know, whatever. Now, that has nothing to do with the product on the field and what's going on.
But they're a first-class organization.
Separate that.
Right.
You have to separate that, folks. The product on the field and who's running it and what's going on Sunday afternoons is a whole other story.
What Jason Leach say? They don't give you, the Jets don't give you breakfast and lunch. The Giants give you breakfast and lunch.
Yeah. It's still a first-class organization as far as the way they treat people and the way they do things and all that. That has nothing to do with the product on the field Sundays. Try to separate what I'm saying, Jerry. So 4-11, dude. They now go to Chicago. They're 6-point underdogs. You imagine this already, Jerry? Against a 5-win Bears team. Why? Because the Bears just won a game in Seattle.
Who had to win yesterday and move down to 8? Thanks, Bears. Thanks, Seattle.
So I guess you look at it like, okay, do you really mind if they lose the last two games and stay at 4 or whatever? Probably not, right?
No.
We talked about this. We like to get that Eagle game just to knock them the hell out of there. At least lessen L, right? That didn't happen as we both predicted, right? Now you go to Chicago and you come home against a Washington team, and you just know what's going to happen, right, Jerry? They're probably going to win that last game.
I know, and they're going to screw themselves.
Knock down a few slots,
and
some freaking yellow jacket guy's going to be drafted right before them. That's the way it's been for this organization, dude.
Yeah, and the three, and again, it's going to change. The three names you keep seeing are Hutchinson, Thibodeau, and Neal. And you want to get in the top three, so it's almost worst case scenario. No matter what happens in front of us, we got one of them. But we're going to drop down. We're going to beat Washington. And then, you know, the Bears will probably beat us next week. We'll get to predictions next week, later in the week. Bears will beat us. They'll drop down to like 10 or so. We'll stay at 5 because you look at all the schedules, the Jets, Jags, Lions, and I think the Texans, they have tall tasks to win over the next 2 weeks. So we're probably going to stay at 5. And then we'll beat Washington, drop down to 7 or 8, and that's that. So there you go.
You can see that happening, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. If we want to get in the top three, we got a package deals to get there. So
So you're at the point now where you say, well, you know, I really don't mind if they lose these last two.
I don't care.
You know,
I've
I don't think
caring.
Anybody. Matter of fact, I would have to say, Jerry, that probably 99.9% of the fan base wants the Giants to lose the last two games and stay in that. What's it, top four? What are they right now, Jerry?
They're five.
Okay. Well, they want him to stay at number 5.
But yeah.
Potentially moving up to 4.
They're tied with the Texans and Jets for 3 through 5, but they're 5th because their strength of schedule is actually harder than the others.
Okay. So,
Trust me, Chris. I go to Tankathon at least 3 times a day. So
that's where we're at, I think everybody's pretty safe to say they wouldn't mind the Giants losing the last two games.
Man, it doesn't make you a bad fan. It makes you smart. You're fine. Don't worry about it. It is what it is, guys. You know?
And the way they're, you know, look, I'm talking about from a fan base perspective. From the Giants, they're going to be looking to win games.
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
Even the last game against Washington, and nobody's going to be there. Washington's probably not going to feel like they want to be they're going to feel like they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And but they're going to be out there to try to win a game, the Giants. You know that, dude. There's no such thing as a play saying, oh, let's just tank this. You know, let the guy run 30 yards. No, that doesn't fly. That doesn't happen.
Chris, I'll tell you what. I'll go a step further. I think there's 60 to 70% of Giant fans who want them to get embarrassed the last 2 weeks so changes happen. That's another thing you keep seeing.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, bro.
Yeah, it's like, if we lose, let's lose big.
You know, it'd be interesting. I guess they'll probably go back to Glennon in Chicago.
Mm. Which excites everybody.
You know what's going to be really interesting, Jerry? Mm. If he doesn't play well, which we anticipate, in Chicago next week, do you go back to Fromm?
Yeah.
To make sure. Now, this is what I talk about. Players never tank.
Mm-hmm.
Players never tank. Mm. They always play to win. Mm. These guys, they're looking for the next contract. They're looking to put stuff on film. They don't do that shit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the organization, they're the ones who could come down and say, you know what, Joe, let's get Fromm. I want Fromm in there. Give him another look. That's their way of make sure, like, you know, we lose this last game. You know, with Fromm in there because we want to finish fourth here. Like, say, going into that last game against Washington, Jerry, if they lose, they're going to finish fourth, argument's sake.
Yeah.
You know what? That's when the call should come from upstairs. Joe, start Fromm. I think Glenn's – yeah, that's nice, Joe. Start Fromm.
Glennon had a better week of practice, which I know we all love.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to hear that.
But, yeah, I agree with you. But I also think I'm at the point where neither one has a chance of winning. But you're right. I guess Fromm is worse. But Glennon's so bad. I'm very confident in their ability to lose both of those games if they start Glennon or Fromm. But I think that call's made. I do. Especially with no implications on anything, right? I mean, Washington. You know, are they going to be battling for a playoff spot? I mean, I think their chances are.
They're done now.
Destroyed last night.
They're done, dude. They're done now.
Yeah.
They're just mathematically not eliminated yet, but they're done. We all know that.
Yeah.
So hey, Jerry. Let's look at. Kadarius, just a few things before we wrap it up, yesterday's game. Kadarius Toney, you know, obviously he got back on the field, had a couple of catches, showed some of those, you know, the feet there one time. Not quite sure what happened on that pick six to the house. I got to look at that again.
I just think he got drilled.
If he pulled up in that route a little bit, you know, kind of put his hands out, he got hit, ball. Oh, he should have kept running through that route where he catches it here, you know, and then he gets blasted. It looked like he might have pulled up a little bit in that, or it was just a bad throw. I'm not quite sure on that. My interest level isn't really very high in looking at that again. But obviously, because I'm a total complete buffoon, I will look at it again. Galladay, not really talk. You know, Evan, a garbage touchdown. Offensive line, look, Pert was getting beat bad early in the game. He winds up getting hurt.
Yeah,
I thought Corey Cunningham actually held his own.
Yeah, he did.
I thought we were going to see Isaiah Wilson there. He was the first time he was active, but... Judge decided to go with Cunningham, who I thought actually played pretty well in there for Pert. He didn't embarrass himself. You know, I thought Andrew played. Thomas played pretty well again on a bad wheel. He's playing hurt, Andrew. But anybody else, Jerry? Devontae ran hard again, Booker, on defense. I thought Leo gutted it out again on defense. Jalen Smith is... Look, he's showing Jalen Smith type things where you can tell he's just taking wrong reads, not getting off blocks, but he has the speed. He gets to the spot quick times and all that.
Yeah, you know, I thought overall, especially early, the secondary played well. Despite what happened towards the end and misplaying balls in the air. Look, I mean, they're down, what, 2-3 corners? And it's basically last year again. You have Bradbury, who's not playing as well as last year, and an off-the-street guy, Jaren Williams. I just thought they
he's playing well.
Yeah, he's not bad, right?
Yeah. I tell you what, Jaren Williams is, you know, then he got banged up a little bit. Aaron Robinson got in there. Julian Love's playing like a Swiss, you know, like a Swiss Army knife. He's playing all over. Like, you know, Julian's got to come down, at least knock that ball down. He didn't. You know, and then Bradbury, obviously, he did some good things yesterday, James, too. But obviously, he's got to come down with that one ball. So they had a couple of jump balls they came down with. that has to be cleaned up.
You know? And dude, it's got to be so disheartening for the defense.
Absolutely.
I mean, in that second half, it's like, we know it's over. You know, they know it's over. Like you said, dude, they got to pitch a shutout. They got to win. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Or as you said nicely before, putrid. I'll use that one going forward.
And you could sense it yesterday. Julian Love was, he was on yesterday. He was he was
faces the media too. Yeah, it's a good guy.
And he kind of leaked it out a little sense the frustration that's going on the defensive side of the ball. But I don't hear much of finger pointing. Everybody's together. A credit to Judge there.
Yeah.
That these guys are still somewhat sticking together and still playing hard. I don't see anybody folding a tent out there, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's just that the offense is just so bad, and it's really given this team no chance to win, dude.
How about Jake Fromm yesterday, real quick? He said in the presser, that's about as bad as it gets. And I thought, oh, Jake, you have no idea, buddy. It could get worse.
Yeah. So and that's that. So we'll see. They have to go to Chicago on January 2nd, next Sunday. And, finish out the string, Jerry, and see what the offseason brings this team.
Lord.
But you're looking at a 4-13 year, dude.
If we're lucky, 4-13.
And if you get some breaks, 5.
No, if we're lucky. That's not a break in 5. Right, if we're lucky, it's 4-13 at this point. Just keep losing, Giants, at this point. You got smoked by the Eagles. We've already hit the low point of this year. So just keep doing it. Keep doing what you do best. Anything else, pal?
No, that's it. So
we're trying to do a call-in cast this week, you think?
Yeah, we're going to try to get that together, everybody. Maybe a little call-in. We just don't know what night yet. Mm. But I think that's not a bad idea, that people give people a chance to call in and get a feel of what they're thinking, which it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
If we find one person calls in, guys, I got some hope for what's going on. It's going to be astonishing. But
disconnect.
Everybody sees things differently. We try to give a fair and honest assessment of what the hell's going on. But no knocking anybody that looks for the silver lining. Our silver lining, Jerry, defense has played the butts off, bud.
Is playing the butts off, and Gettleman
need a few more parts.
Gettleman will be launched to Cape Cod. Those are the two I'm hanging my hat on. So,
well, one is they're both definites, right? The defense is going to keep playing their butts off. Try to hopefully you don't see anybody tanking the last two games, like kind of folding a 10. I don't think you'll see that on the Patrick Graham.
Yeah,
and Judge, I don't think you'll see that.
Right,
but I've been wrong before, so
we all have.
And the silver lining, I guess, like you just said, Jerry, in a few weeks when the season comes to an end, is going to be the new mind, hopefully, the new mind coming in the building, the new general manager, and his, thoughts and the way he wants to attack running a football team, drafting and all that. That's the silver lining.
From outside the organization.
That most likely is going to be the scenario. So that will be the silver lining.
I may lose sleep over the fact that you said most likely.
Might
not. Absolutely, Jer.
Oh, look, I'm not going to 100% guarantee that because it is John Mara, and he will let people talk to him and actually convince him of something else. Sad to say. Mm. But it's 99.9%. It's going to be somebody from outside the building. Anyway, their new ideas and opinions and the way they want to build a roster and all that, Jerry. I guess that's the silver lining, right?
Yep.
There's the hope.
Yep.
There's the hope, Jerry,
Yes.
And then until he proves that he's a buffoon, or he or she, whoever comes in there, until then you're going to have a little hope, right?
Yes, we will.
I think, Jerry, even whoever comes in here as a general manager, and it's a bright, fresh new mind, right? Mm-hmm. And even if they tell Giant fans, hey, look, I know you're down on maybe your head coach, but I'm going to give another year. We're going to make this work. I think even Giant fans are like, all right, you know what? Let the new general manager come in. Let's see what that draft looks like. We'll give Judge, give Judge some more tools. Let's see what, I don't think the fan base would be 100% down on a new general manager coming in saying, now, I'm talking about a new general manager that came in and said, no, I want a Judge.
Yeah.
Not the rumors out there like, oh, yeah, well, he took it. He's the fifth choice, and he only took it because he wants to be a general manager, and he took Judge. You know what I mean?
Right. I want them, like I said, you want them to make that decision. And I think the further you get away from the season, the more you'll say, well, let's give Judge one more shot. I know it's hard to see that now, but the further away you get, you'll say, well, a lot of injuries. You'll start using the injury excuse, but whatever. We'll have the – let's – Gettleman's launch, then we go from there. So, good stuff, buddy. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, which we printed last night, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. We print again after last night's. We'll probably wait till the end of the season after Gettleman is launched back to Cape Cod to do the next issue. But as always, guys, thanks for the support. Thanks for the support of the subscriptions as well as listening to this podcast. It will get better one day. I keep saying that, and I think it will happen. And Sundays are Giant Days, guys. Take care, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.